some of my songs I have casually mentioned the fact that I like to drink beer. This little song is more to the point. Roll out the barrel and lend me your ears. I like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow. I like beer. It helps me unwind, and sometimes it makes me feel mellow.
Welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. How are you? Today is April 6th. I'm Jimmy Carboni, your co-host. The sponsor tonight is the Good Beer Seal, goodbeerseal.com, an association of New York City bars that care about good beer. My co-host is Ray Dieter from the DBA Bars, and our special guests are Jim Barnes from Pretty Things, a really cool brewery in Boston, and Corey Bonfiglio, a great beer guy who formerly worked at Whole Foods beer store on the Bowery. Hi guys, how are you doing?
Hey Jimmy, how you doing, man?
All right. Ray, I've got a feeling that this is going to be your year, 2010.
That's a great feeling to have. Yeah, we got a lot of things going on. We always talk about the liquids of interest every Monday night. Although I'm not quite sure if I'm going to get in trouble for pushing that this week, because we are going to be tasting tequila this coming Monday in a lead up to our first annual Williamsburg Tequila Festival.
And when's that, right?
That's going to be the last weekend of April. April 29th, or April 30th, May 1st, and May 2nd.
So tequila and other spirits, are spirits sister spirits or sister, you know,
absolutely,
beverages to beer?
Oh, yeah. Yes. And tequila is a great thing. I mean, it's made with agave. It's one of the few things that Mexico really treasures. It's weird how they really protect it legally when the Mexican government is kind of known to be kind of corrupt and weird, but they really protect their tequila issues. But let's not go too crazy about tequila. Let's get back to beer, because that's what we're here for.
Let's talk about tequila and beer, because we got Corey. Corey, how are you?
Doing well, Jimmy. How are you?
And Jim Barnes from Pretty Things, how are you?
Doing well. Right. Thanks for having me
on. This is a good intro for our show, because I was thinking about, you know, sometimes you just want to drink beer, but sometimes you want to drink beer and something else.
Well, yeah. And you know, people associate tequila with, you know, like Cuervo Gold, which is crap, basically. And they associate beer with Corona. It's like, you know, Cuervo Gold tequila to tequila is what Cuervo or to Corona is to beer. There's really great tequilas. There's really great beers. And when you pair them together, it can be just fantastic.
So what's your favorite beer and spirit pairing?
Beer and tequila pairing would be, I would say, a silver tequila from maybe from Chinaco. Chinaco makes a great silver tequila. Then I'd pair that with, you know, like a Jaeger Pilsner, a really bright Pilsner. Goes really well. We'll be exploring those things this coming Monday.
All right, I'm looking forward to that. Interest. Liquids of Interest every Monday at DBA in Brooklyn. So, Corey, how are you doing?
Doing great, man. Beautiful out.
I'll say Corey's one of my favorite beer guys. For a while, he worked at the beer room at the Whole Foods Bowery store, and that really was a cool place. Mm. I mean, it seemed that there has been retailing of beer going on a long time in the city. 20 years ago, you had the delis with the 400 beers. Maybe some of them were old, but there was still, they gave it a shot. And it's the first time when Whole Foods came in, it seemed like suddenly beer retailing has gone to the next step. And the best part of what Whole Foods did is that there's quite a few other really good beer retail shops now. Beer, what's the one? The one in Brooklyn that we all know.
Beer Craft.
Oh, Beer Craft was right. Kind of there for a long time, too. And now there's Browery Lane.
Oh, right.
And, Lane,
Are there any other really good beer retail shops?
Is that Ed Raven's place in Greenpoint?
Yeah, Ed Raven, who was a long time, he worked at Brooklyn Brewery, and
yep.
he imports Jaeger.
Yep, brings in Jaeger and a few other things.
Gaffel Kulsh.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, the entire amount of beer and the labels that are available now, it's just escalated. It's just come up. Before, you couldn't find a bottle of Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, but now you go into any kind of grocery store, deli, and you're going to find at least a pretty good beer. You're going to find, you know, Anchor Liberty Ale. You're going to find a few good things. And you're not stuck with things like King Cobra, Tall Boys.
It's beautiful. I mean, I live out in Kensington, you know, and I really was not expecting to find a whole lot out there. But I looked at the local food town on the corner. Mm-hmm. You know, walk in and they got 12 packs of Dale's, and they got all sorts of...
Dale's Ales, yeah.
Samuel Smith, and just... Good stuff. It's nothing that's going to, you know, blow your mind, but it's at least there's this. Oh, more than that. Better than that.
Even at airports, you can get good beer now.
Yeah.
I mean, Jersey City, where I live, same thing. Yeah, a lot of good places out there. There's a one little store run by this Indian group, and you know, they've got like Omegang, they've got Duvel, they've got, you know, Blue Point. So a lot of good stuff.
Yeah,
cool.
The key food in these villages got like an incredible selection of beers now. And also you're talking about Whole Foods on Houston Street. I used to go over there and wonder how you guys sell that stuff for so little. I was like, whoa, my God, they're selling draft beer in growlers, and I can't afford it to sell it that cheap.
Yeah. You know what it is? It's
volume, volume, volume.
It's volume, and it's also, you know, like a lot of, like, union distributors and a lot of these people were kind of founded upon distributing Anheuser-Busch and things like this.
Sure.
So we all kind of have to play into that in the business for the most part, you know, all a lot of these types of places. So that place pretty much subsists on selling Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Sells Whole Foods?
Oh, yeah. An absurd amount of it, because it's $7.99 for a 12-pack. You know how it goes.
Right, right.
So just selling a ton of that, luckily we're able to then I was able to have free reign as far as ordering was concerned.
So you curated the list. You're the one
that... Not completely. We had a few people that were doing it.
Okay.
But yeah, I did a bit of the buying, yeah.
Wow. I always wondered how that worked. And also, the growlers, was that a big... feature? Do people buy a lot of growlers at Whole Foods?
Really well. They did really well. And I think that is partially responsible for the explosion. Like, it is like a lot of bars doing it now and a lot of other retail spots doing it. It's really cool. It's great to see it everywhere.
Yeah. Hey, Jimmy, do you sell growlers at your place?
You know, we do quietly.
Quietly. Because it's legal. We can do
it. Yeah, it is legal. We haven't really pushed it that much, but we do have growlers. We're just starting to get into it.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to start doing it. You know, a couple of years ago, well, a long time ago when we first opened up, I thought it'd be a great idea to sell Christmas packages because they have these pre-boxed packages with a Christmas beer and some glassware. And sure. I thought it'd be a great idea for a bunch of drunk guys that like didn't get a present for their whoever. And so I bought those packages in. And I had them set up. I had a big display, like last minute Christmas presents. I did not sell any of them.
Really?
None. And so I ended up like having to break open the boxes and put the glasses on my shelves and sold the beers and bottles.
I knew that growlers were taking off when I went to a friend's Christmas party 2 years ago, and he had a really good 6-point beer in a growler from Whole Foods. And it was, it was a beer that you couldn't get anywhere else. Mm-hmm. It was eight days a week.
Oh, the 8 days a week, sure. Oh,
right. Yeah.
It was really good. Yeah. But Corey, let's talk a little bit more about you. So, was your first beer job at Whole Foods?
Yeah, as far as, you know, working in the industry is concerned, yeah. I was there for a couple of years, and I took over, you know, a fair amount of the buying, and just kind of being a face and being a go-to guy, and it was really fun. You know, I learned so much in a small amount of time.
I mean, one of the questions that I had for you tonight was, I mean, I heard you guys sold a lot of 6-packs or 12-packs. I mean, is that really what you sold the most of? Was like Pabst Blue Ribbon?
Yes.
Wow.
Flat out. But, like I said, luckily we did.
Right.
I mean, people would come in and complain about it and say, you know, I can't believe you guys sell that crap. I'm like, you know what? If we didn't, we wouldn't be able to offer all this other cool stuff that doesn't move nearly as much. You know what I mean? If we're going to do a case every 2 weeks, 3 weeks of something super cool, like, you know, obscure, like we have a bottle of the Oak Podge here right now from Alvin Brewery, which is super cool, but that doesn't move. It's like a $22 bottle retail. On our margin, which was low.
You know, let's taste that. So somebody read the label to us. It's Alvin.
That's, you want
to
start with
the Podge? Yeah, let's start with that. Come on.
You're going to start with this? Yeah, because we haven't got a corkscrew to start with that.
Yeah.
I think it's coming.
I think one of our first episodes, Justin Phillips from Beer Table brought in another Alvin beer from Belgium. And,
okay, this is the Oak Podge. It's 66.5% stout aged in oak barrels, 33.5% stout. How strong is this?
9%.
9% alcohol by volume. Okay.
Good way to start on a beautiful sunny, you know, spring afternoon.
I hope nobody's gonna handle any heavy equipment.
So, beer retail shops, Whole Foods and Browery Lane. So, what else? You guys sell? Did you sell a lot of beer in growlers?
The growlers did super well. Which is really cool because, to be honest, the beer room itself was a fluke. It was a mistake. It was supposed to be wine.
Right. Yeah, I remember that.
It was supposed to be wine, but I guess that fell through, luckily enough.
Did he get their license?
Yeah.
It's a full liquor license required to sell wine.
No,
exactly.
The community went against it. There were some small wine stores that were concerned
exactly
about Whole Foods having wine.
Understandable.
And, you know, those are issues to be worked out at a larger level, but...
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's good that they put in a beer store. I think
a lot of
people have been turned on to beers that they found there.
Oh yeah.
And so let's taste this beer. Let's Well, I'm getting it like a, the nose is kind of oxidized. Which, how old is this?
That's Jimmy's.
I just got it last week. And since I got it from Union, it's probably only a few months old.
I mean, oxidized is a good way of getting like that kind of port, kind of sherry nose. Well,
it's probably the cask age part of it. You know, when you put something in a cask, not only do you get a little bit of wood or oak, you also get a little bit of oxygen.
Looking at it, it's kind of cloudy in a good way. It's got a nice head, a nice kind of creamy head to it. It's brown, not black, which is really lovely.
Oddly enough, because it is they consider it an imperial stout.
Really, and I would expect it to be darker than that.
Yeah,
you know, more of a black.
So this is Alvina oak aged. It's called Podge. It's a stout. The oak Podge from Belgium. It's the kind of beer you could get at some really specialty retail shops. Another one I'm going to throw in is, it's called New Beer. It's on Christie Street, a few blocks below the Whole Foods store.
Yeah.
And Harry's been there a long time. It's his family's business. And they sell a lot of things like Corona and Bud, but he has an exquisite curated selection of bottles from Dan Shelton and other really great importers. Right. And I think he's got one. And also Thrifty Beverage, which is American beer. They're in Brooklyn.
Right, in Brooklyn.
Those two guys, between Thrifty Beverage and New Beer and Whole Foods and Browery Lane and, of course, Beercraft. I mean, you can get almost any beer you want if you just go to those two places.
You know, it's funny. The nose that I got, that kind of oxidized note, is not present in the beer at all.
Not at all. Mm. Yeah, which is really nice. Because that'll immediately, just kill it.
But I'm getting that bourbon. Like the wood sweetness from the wood is there. There's a huge alcohol burn, which I was kind of surprised by. Often you don't get that kind of heat from a strong beer, but it's really great.
It is, and I'm excited that it's not, that heat is very present, especially much after the finish, but it's not to the point where it's aggravating.
Oh, no.
You know, it's nice.
No, it doesn't stick with you. Yeah.
This is not a beer that you're going to be pounding.
No.
This is a beer that you're going to be sipping and enjoying.
And it's a good thing there's four of us for that 750 otherwise.
And plus there's like five other bottles behind it.
So we have this is an amazing beer. This is really good. One of the best beers in the world probably, right?
It's
Would you put it on that level?
I'll put it in my top 10 that I've had this today.
Wow. And what about you, Jim? Jim, you're with Pretty Things Brewery in Boston.
Yeah, Pretty Things Beer and Ale Project. Yeah, we're new to town. We're the new kid on the block, as it were. Branding wise, almost as cheesy as NKOTB, but in a really cool, hip way, I guess. But we've been really happy to be here in New York, and people have received us well. And
so let's talk about Pretty Things.
That's what happens when the product is that good.
Yeah, it's amazing. Who's the brewer of Pretty Things?
Dan Paquette, and he's been professionally brewing for close to 20 years now. And he dreamed up this project about 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, actually, when he called me on the phone. I happened to be volunteering at the Belgian Beer Festival back in like 2007.
And where was this, in Boston?
In Boston.
So Boston has a... Tell us about this festival. Because some of us should go there.
Yeah, who puts that on? Is that
the... Yeah, the Alstrom Brothers, Beer Advocate.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Beer Advocate,
so,
guys.
I've been working with
Beer Advocate has a... Is it an annual Belgian Beer Festival?
Yeah, annual Belgian Beer Fest. And then they're coming up with the American Craft Beer Fest soon. And that's going to be a huge fest. They're going to do it at the World Trade Center and the waterfront there in Boston.
Oh, wow.
So it's...
When is that?
That's June, I believe, either June 20th, 21st, or June 19th and 20th. It's Friday, Saturday, the third weekend of June. So it's...
So the Alstrom Brothers, BeerAdvocate.com, those guys have some really great events, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
They do.
Yeah.
They're crazy. They're out of their minds.
Fest, and they have... Belgian. Wow.
Yeah, they make...
Cool. Well, we're just getting to know each other here. We're going to take a short break, and this is Beer Sessions Radio on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni. We'll be back in a few minutes. Welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni, and my co-host tonight is Ray Dieter from the DBA Bars.
Yo.
GoodBeerSeal.com. Find your best craft beer bars in New York City. So we're here tonight with Corey Bonfiglio, a beer enthusiast, and Jim Barnes from Pretty Things. We are getting great response from our listeners out there. If you ever want to call in live, it's 718-497-2128, 718-497-2128, and we will take your question on air. We also have email questions. You can email us at beersessions@gmail.com. Rachel in Queens sent in this question, and it's a really good question, and I think it's going to tie in with what Pretty Things is doing and some of the other breweries that we know. What can I bring to a barbecue that will go great with barbecue food, but that no one else will bring? I'm looking for a good conversation starter, but it should be affordable enough to let everyone get a taste. Thank you, Rachel. And Jim, from Pretty Things in Boston, okay. What beer would you bring to a barbecue?
Well, thanks, Rachel, for that question. It's a good question. I think the two beers that I'd bring, any one of our beers, but I think the two beers that work well with meats are obviously the St. Botolph's Town. It's a drinkable brown ale from inspired by the Yorkshire Stingo ales there. So think Old Peculiar, and it's a there's just a lot of roasted malts in there. Something that would probably pair well with barbecued meats, and then of course the Baby Tree is another terrific pairing to go with meats, and that's a Belgian style quadruple, 9%, and we put dried prunes into the boil or into the kettle to help sort of grab those caramelized sugars. So particularly if you got some nice, really tangy, sweet barbecue sauces, something like that might be nice. Pairing with that, complement it nicely. But
so Pretty Things Brewery from Boston has a couple beers that would be good for your barbecue. And Corey, what would you recommend for Rachel's barbecue?
He's absolutely right on that. And people are going to look at it and have, those labels are so out there, yeah. and so cool that people are going to look at that and be like, what the hell is this? Yeah. But if you want to do something a little more affordable and maybe even more, not to say it's not worth it, believe me, but affordable and easier to find, I would say easiest Oscar Blues Dale's Pale Ale, which is just a killer beer. Just a killer beer. Totally just slam it out of the can, no problem.
It's in a can.
Yeah. Oh, it is canned.
Oh,
yeah.
Beers, and if you want to talk about it, right.
Exactly. I mean, myriad benefits. But if you want to talk about, impressing people and conversation piece or starter, that's it. They're going to say, oh, why is this beer in a can? Which you get a lot. People that just kind of have this stigma of this awful old American, canned beer, lagers and whatever. But, man, that beer is just too much. It's just too good. It's everywhere. It's,
Oscar Blues, Dale's Pale Ale, and Pretty Things. Jim, what's the website for Pretty Things?
PrettyThingsBeerToday.com.
PrettyThingsBeerToday.com. One great thing about the Heritage Radio Network is that you can follow us on your internet and everything's tagged. So I'm going to check out that website too. Ray, what would you bring to Rachel's barbecue?
To Rachel's barbecue, I'd bring two things. Another canned beer I was thinking about, Sly Fox Pikeland Pils in a can. Really crisp, wonderful beer that people totally underestimate. Mm-hmm. It's a great beer. Mm-hmm. And when I think about barbecues out in the backyard, canned beer is the place to go,
Absolutely.
It's just holding a cold can of beer in your hand. And when it tastes good, it's special. Now, if you want to go step it up a little bit, my favorite beer with food beer is Saison DuPont. Mm. And that just goes so great with barbecue. And Indian food. I always bring a bottle when I go to 6th Street. In the East Village, it has some
Saison DuPont. That's Saison like the DuPont. Classic Belgian Saison
classic
style.
Classic Belgian Saison style. I've been to the brewery. They make great stuff. It's a tiny little brewery. They make great cheese, great bread, and their beer, Saison DuPont, is just...
And you can impress people. It's Belgian. And
right.
It's not that expensive.
And it's not
either.
That expensive. It's very accessible.
And it's available in a lot of stores. Yeah. Yep.
And it's always available on draft at TBA.
Wow.
Well, that's, would you sell it as a growler?
We're going to do that. I'm trying to find somebody to sponsor the growler program, but if I can't do that, we'll just go out and buy our own growlers.
Well, guess what I'm going to bring to Rachel's barbecue, because I know I'm getting invited.
Okay, Jimmy.
Okay. I'm going to get some growlers, because Jimmy's 43 has some growlers too. I would go to a number of other Good Beer Seal bars like DBA in Brooklyn. I would go to the Pony. up in Midtown West. And I would bring a 6-point. I would probably bring a 6-point Righteous Rye and a growler, because it's a great with barbecues.
Righteous Rye is always a great
beer. And I'm going to give there's a special announcement, guys. I don't know if we have music for announcements. For the Good Beer Seals, July Good Beer Month, this will be the second Good Beer Month. On July 11th, we're having a special outdoor barbecue and beer event on Governor's Island.
Oh, man.
And some of the Good Beer Seal members will be making a custom beer with 6-point Brewery. It's going to be a smoked beer geared for barbecue. So if you have your barbecue after July 11th, Rachel, I will come with a growler of 6-point smoky beer brewed by Good Beer Seal members.
Nice.
So I think that's a pretty good lineup of beers.
Beautiful.
Put me on that ferry.
Oh, yeah. July 11th, Good Beer Seal event. Awesome. So, it's so great to get people calling in or emailing in questions. And
if they call in and they ask and Jimmy invites themselves to their event, I mean, that's a bonus, right?
Yeah. Well, I haven't been invited yet. So.
Jimmy's a good guy to hang out with anyway. So.
Especially when he brings good beer.
Mm. Yeah.
So what beer are we drinking now? Is this the Brewery Saison or the Fantôme?
It's the Brewery Saison, what we're drinking right now. Now you're pouring the...
So that we're getting back to fancy beers. And even one thing about some of these really good American small breweries, they're still not that expensive. I don't know how much this beer would cost you. It probably would cost $15 at a retail shop. The brewery, it's a 25-ounce bottle, so it's like getting a $7.50. It's like getting a good bottle of wine for $15.
Less.
In a restaurant bar, it's probably going to cost you $25. It still is as good as a fair bottle of wine.
Yeah.
And it's one of the things about the craft beer movement that it's one reason I'm in it. Going back to the 90s, I was really a wine guy first. I really liked wine. And one day it was like Robert Parker's ratings, if the wine wasn't 90 or above, or if it wasn't $80 or above, or some Wall Street guy, had to memorize the scores from Parker and talk about how expensive the wine was, suddenly it was like it wasn't fun anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And the void in my heart was filled by beer.
Jimmy. You had a void in your heart?
I'm a beverage
Somebody
guy
write
at heart.
That down.
So, unfortunately, some of you guys were raised on taste of, Cobra or,
No, not me.
What were you raised on?
I was raised on, I guess, Rheingold.
Rheingold. You were raised on taste of Rheingold. Corey, what were you raised on for beer?
Budweiser.
And what about you, Jim?
My dad, when I was 8, gave me Ballantines.
Oh, Ballantine. Okay. Baseball and Ballantine.
Yeah.
was raised on fine wine.
Wow.
And my father would make Manhattans and put them in these cool pitchers with there was a little pocket for ice inside, so it stayed cooled without getting diluted. And this is my household.
Oh, wow.
And that's why I'm a passionate beer, wine, and spirits
dude. That explains a lot, Jim.
Yes. So I always want the best. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to pay the
Italian
top price.
Too.
Can I just bring up this beer that we're drinking right now, which is the brewery
beer. The Saison.
So good. No.
No, which one?
Oh. Let's talk about the Fantôme.
Oh, you're on the Fantôme.
Ray,
you're killing
moved
my
on
story,
Fantôme.
Ray. Slow down.
We're talking about
good American craft beer.
Oh, but what's not good about that? But we just actually stepped over the line, over the ocean, over to Belgium. And we're having the Fantôme. Which one is this?
It's the standard Saison.
Standard Saison.
Wonderful beer.
And the sad thing about this is it's just not available. You can't find it because the brewer, and his name is Danny, and he's a lunatic, a wonderful lunatic, a mad scientist, brews it in his garage. He just doesn't make it that much. But when he does.
They could do an on-air toast.
Yes, on-air absolutely.
Toast. Cheers.
Cheers, guys.
Wonderful.
Cheers.
This is fantastic.
Man, I almost feel bad because we have this. I mean, the brewery is a super cool brewery. They do a lot of really cool stuff.
Fantôme.
No, I know. I understand, but I'm saying the brewery.
Oh,
this brewery.
Yeah.
But we put up their Saison Roux, which is a strong Brett-based Saison.
We didn't realize
two different people brought these bottles, and I brought the Fantôme, and,
Fantôme is better.
As Ray was saying.
The Fantôme is just remarkable. The brewery beer, I mean, maybe it wasn't kept well. I don't know, because the bread is not present. The sourness that...
It's not really in general, no.
No. And it tastes like ginger ale, basically. I don't know.
Yeah, it's got a really interesting fruity sort of nose and
the brewery.
Taste up front. The brewery, yeah.
Well, there's rye in there, and it's kind of translating into kind of a sweetness that I'm not surprised. I'm kind of surprised that it's there.
It's
because rye usually gives it a spiciness in them, and I guess sugar's a spice, right?
Yeah.
Just not a spice that I expect to find.
So are we in agreement that we like a beer with a dry finish?
Depending, sometimes. Like if we're at a barbecue, yeah. sometimes a smoky finish is better, you know? And that's funny because you brought up the smoky beer that you're having brewed for the barbecue. I didn't even think of that. I always think of looking for a dry, crisp finish because the sweetness of the barbecue sauce and stuff's there. But yeah. a smoky beer is... That's a great idea. And you not even think of it, like a Spezial would be great at a barbecue. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's Shane and Jeff at Six Point. They really wanted to do a smoky beer.
So, Rachel, you got a big list.
Wow. Poor girl.
Invite a lot of people.
If you can try all those beers, you'll learn a lot about beer, too. Oh, yeah. And any of those beers, you would impress your, you know,
so
your guests.
So what's that list? We're talking about Sly Fox. I said Sly Fox. Sly Fox. And Saison DuPont and Dales. Spezial.
Dale's Pale Ale.
Dale's Pale Ale.
Pale Ale. Pretty Things. The St. Botolph's. And
a 6 Point smoky beer or Righteous Rye on Growler.
Mm. Great stuff.
I mean, you might want to come. I mean, Growlers have come so far. I mean, I don't think that I ever thought about getting a beer in Growler, but I think it has a lot to do with Whole Foods. I mean, now if you show up at a party with a Growler of beer, you're really the coolest.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And actually, what Beercraft is doing right now too is they're pressure filling their growlers.
Yeah, which is cool.
Pressure filling.
They also fill.
What does that mean? Wait, what does that mean?
Yeah. They CO2. They push CO2 in to push the oxygen out.
They've got a special device to fill the. A hose? They seal on the top?
Yeah, and actually, the guy from Sly Fox, he was doing that a while back. Yeah, Brian from Sly Fox.
Who's going to be at DBA at its official tasting on May 18th.
We might have him on the show.
Yeah.
Tell us about Sly Fox. They're in Pennsylvania, right?
One of my favorite breweries. Local stuff. They make that great Pikeland Pils in cans that people have a hard time making that crossover to the cans. But canned beer is just wonderful when it's done right. Well, good beer is good beer, period.
Right.
And I've been there and I saw his canning line, and the guy's got integrity. Brian's a great guy.
Let's ask about technology. I mean, you know, we've talked about what good beer is. Good beer maybe shouldn't be in green bottles. But so can good beer be in cans?
Well, obviously the sunlight's kept out, so that's not a problem.
And I'm sorry, oxygen as well is just,
I guess it's an issue about there's a PVC lining inside the tin because the beer never actually is exposed to the tin. I've heard on the radio on NPR, I'm an NPR guy, about how that exposure to that kind of plastic poison might be an issue, but I don't know. The alcohol kills most everything anyway. So I love it. I love good beer in cans. I think it's a great way to go.
Yeah.
You can get Brooklyn Lager in cans too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I'm trying to put together a program, a special at DBA Brooklyn, Old Williamsburg Bourbon and Brooklyn Lager in cans. I think that's a great combination. This is bourbon. It's not the best bourbon in the world, but it's pretty good. Mm-hmm. And it's a great shot in a beer. Old Williamsburg and a can.
Why not? Yeah.
Brooklyn Lager. When you drink your fancy beer in cans, do you drink it from the can or do you pour it into a glass?
You got to drink it from the can.
Well, it's situational.
Right.
I mean, if I'm home and I'm hanging out and I'm doing what I'm doing, I'm going to pour my Dales out or whatever, you know, Pikeland Pils or the Phoenix Pale, whatever it is, you know, Sly Fox. But, I mean, if you're at the barbecue.
Right. Let's bring this back to bars. Okay. You're at a bar and you got a can of Dale's Pale Ale and you pour it in your glass. Okay. Is that how you're going to drink it?
Are you with your friends being a snob or are you with a pretty girl? Because it makes a difference.
So if you're with a pretty girl, what do you do?
Can. Flat out. You don't have time for a glass. She doesn't care. If she does, even better. But, you know, if you're with your friends talking
beer. And then you get the can and smash it against your forehead. Right? You just like get it and like smash it into your forehead.
If that's her thing,
right?
I think we talked enough about beer and cans, and we're going to take a 2-minute break. This is Beer Sessions Radio on Heritage Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in.
Well, I heard the news. That's a good to rock in the night. I'm gonna hold my baby as tight as I can. Tonight she'll know I'm a mighty, mighty man. I heard the news. There's good to rockin' tonight. I say, oh, meet me in a hurry behind the bar. Don't you be afraid that I'll do you no harm. I want you to bring along my rockin' shoes, cause tonight I'm going to rock away all the blues. I heard the news. There's good to rockin' tonight.
Welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on HeritageRadioNetwork.com. I'm Jimmy Carboni, your host, and my co-host tonight is Ray Dieter from DVA. DVA Bars, Brooklyn, Manhattan, New Orleans. Welcome, Ray. How you doing, buddy?
I'm all right, Jim. I'm drinking this wonderful Saison beer from Fantôme. And it's a remarkable beer. I'm thrilled to have it.
Can you read off the label and spell it so that our listeners can know what you're talking about?
I can do that. It's called Fantôme. F as in Frank, A as in Anthony, N as in Nancy, T as in Tom, O as in, oh my God, M as in me, and E as in Edward. Fantôme, the beer d'artisanal Surly.
So you know the brewer of Fantôme, don't you?
Yeah, I've met Danny, yeah, a few times. He's a lunatic. He's a kind of a brewing, he brews beer out of his garage, and he won't divulge any ingredients that he uses. It's just he makes the beer up as it goes along, and it's always fantastic.
So does he have a brewery?
Yeah, he's got a brewery in his garage. It's a brewery. And he's very moody. He doesn't brew unless he feels like it. Like, you know, the gods have to be shining down upon him to bring him to the brewery. But that's not that unusual for these people, you know, these people that brew these great beers. I think they need that divine inspiration to bring the beer, you know, down from the clouds to our bottles.
So Fantôme, and how long has he been brewing this one? He brews several beers, doesn't he?
He's got a bunch.
It's very rare,
yeah.
It's very hard to get. I would actually go to a really good beer shop or a good beer bar and say, I want Fantôme.
It's the only place you're going to find it.
But you're not going to get it at the supermarket, the deli, or your average bar.
You're going to get it at Jimmy's 43, you're going to get it at DBA, you're going to get it at...
Spite and Dive will definitely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, Blind Tiger, I'm sure. Yeah. You know.
Joe's going to have it. Dave's going to have it over at Blind Tiger. They're going to be available at the usual suspects. You know,
What's so great about this beer? Why do you like it? I mean, I like the way it tastes.
Well, this particular one, it's
dry.
It's light. It's got this Brett going on. It's got this sourness to it that is just so balanced. And I've had Fantôme beers that are totally unbalanced and still wonderful.
Yeah.
But this one isn't. Total balance. Just a great, great beer. It's got, I guess the Brett, I don't know if he puts it in there or if it's because it was an open fermentation in his garage. It could be like just from like the lawnmower that's next to the brew kettle. You know, whatever Ginders are hanging on his lawnmower.
They don't have lawnmowers in Belgium.
They don't have lawnmowers in Belgium, Jimmy? I didn't know that.
They don't cultivate grass.
I got to say that I've been to Belgium a number of times. You probably have too, right? Have you been to Belgium?
I've actually never been to Belgium. I've been to southern Holland.
It's not Belgium?
Never to Belgium.
Belgium looks a lot like New Jersey, which is where I'm from. So that's why I feel very at home there. It's pretty ugly country by and large. The weather's really crappy, really flat, except when you get into the cities. Antwerp's beautiful. Bruges is beautiful. I mean, they've got architecture that's just, you know, unbelievable. But basically, the landscape's pretty ugly. That's why they drink, I think, to forget about what they have to live around.
Okay, Ray?
Yeah?
This is your moment.
Okay.
I'm young and want to learn about beer.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take a trip to Belgium. Right. Tell me 10 breweries that I should go to.
10 breweries that you should go to. Well, you should seek out the De La Seine Brewery, which doesn't really exist yet. Derenck. Mm-hmm. I would go to, in Brussels, I would find the Cantillon Brewery, which is it's in Brussels, actually. You can take the metro to it. And it's in this crazy, bad section of Brussels. I would go to,
I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you, but all I wanted to say about that is that it's so funny to me that you think of this like peaceful kind of farmhouse surrounding for these Cantillon beers, these wonderful beers.
No, it's right in the middle of
the
town.
City. You know, so there's wild yeast that's coming in.
Right. It's got it's infected by the bus smoke and horrible things.
And there you go, these incredible beers come out of it.
Right. Another brewery, obviously the DuPont Brewery, which is in right by the border of France and Belgium. That's a great brewery to go to. De Koninck in Antwerp. It's a great, great just drinking beer. It's not too special. It's inexpensive over there. It's a great go-to brown ale.
Would De Koninck be a good barbecue beer?
Yeah. Yeah,
it's a simple Belgian ale. Amber ale.
You know what? I don't know if I wouldn't bring that to a barbecue.
No.
I wouldn't bring it to a barbecue. I wouldn't. I think it's a little too sweet. I think that I won't work.
I might bring it to a barbecue.
You're allowed to, Jimmy.
I think it's a little
different.
It's your
radio show.
It's a little
different.
It'd be
a good dessert beer.
The Koninck.
Well, it's not a dessert beer either. It's not that. I mean, it's a brown ale. It's like bringing Newcastle. I don't think Newcastle, which De Koninck is 10 times better than Newcastle brown ale. But I wouldn't bring I don't think I'd bring Taconic to a barbecue. Although I would drink it if it was there, especially if that was like, if there was like Bud and Bud Light and Coors and Corona, and I'd be on the Taconic in a second. What other good breweries are over there? There's a ton of great breweries over there.
Bruce Brewery, Le Chouf.
Yeah.
I don't know. The story I heard when David Ciccolo from the Public House, along with Todd Ahlstrom, they went over to Belgium and they went to see the brewery there at Brasserie Le Chouf. And it was closed. The brasserie was closed. But then they gotten in touch with Chris.
I know Chris.
Yeah, the president. So he says, "Oh yeah, we will come. We will meet up." So he comes out, and they bring him back. They bring them back to his house. Him and Pierre. They open up beers. They opened up a 16-year-old bottle of Le Chouf that was brewed the year that Chris's son was born. I think that's correct. Send him away. And then he's like, "All right, now we will fly the Chouf." And they're like, "What?" And they're like, "Yeah, come." They all pile into cars. They drive out to the middle of this countryside, and suddenly there's this, and basically they rig this Chouf elf on a bicycle, and it's all got helicopter thing, and it just flies overhead. He's got the remote control, and he's like, meow. So,
cool. Okay,
yeah.
Are you going to that brewery or not, Rick?
Now I am.
I'm going to cut off your list. There's one more question we have, and I really want to get to it.
Sure.
I think the reason we're talking about these really good Belgian breweries is that we have a Belgian-inspired brewery in Michigan called Jolly Pumpkin, which many of us know and love. And the question is from Confused in Brooklyn, which is a great little name. Why do so many excellent breweries like Jolly Pumpkin only make their beer available in those big bottles instead of, say, a 12-ounce size? Mm. What do you think about that, Ray?
I think that, first of all, about Jolly Pumpkin, I think that they should change the name of the brewery, because everybody that comes into my bar asking for their beer thinks that all their beers are pumpkin ales. and they're not. They're wonderful. And they've got Brett, and they're kind of sour ales. They make great, great beer. They're all fantastic. Why do they put it in bottles? I don't know. I don't know. I think that what we should do is actually call the brewer, and maybe, can we do that? I don't know. Can we get a phone call from a brewer?
We can do it. The next show you're on, we can definitely have a brewer call in, and cool we can talk
be.
About...
That'd be great.
What's the name of the Jolly Pumpkin brewer? Do you know
him? Ron Jeffries.
Ron Jeffries, correct, yeah.
Yeah, and he also...
He's out in Chicago right now.
He brews at another brewery, too, doesn't he?
Well, he does. I think he's responsible for the Leelanau beers, which is another cool, like... That's even more low-key than Jolly Pumpkin, which is crazy, but they do some really cool stuff. They have, like, a Grand Cru Pale Ale, which almost shouldn't even make sense upon initially hearing about it, but it's such a cool beer. It's like a maybe 5%, you know, kind of sour, pale ale. I mean, it's really cool. I mean, the Leelanau brand is a really cool one as well.
Okay, I've not had that.
You ought to, yeah.
I will seek it out.
But Jolly Pumpkin, that's a beer that, I don't think that's necessarily a barbecue beer.
No,
but, definitely a beer you can get at some of the specialty shops and good beer sale bars.
You know, I've got a cask of the BAM beer on my Manhattan bar, and I got to tell you, I mean, I was very disappointed. It was kind of lackluster in the cask.
Really?
I'm not quite sure what their brewery situation is, what their brewery set up like, and how they brew it, but the bottles are spectacular, and this draft product, well, cask product, just wasn't that great.
The one thing I'll say about some of the specialty bottles, beers that are in these 25-ounce or 750-liter bottles is I think that there is a sense of... You want to compare them to a bottle of wine. Going back to this talk about, I used to love wine and somehow it got too snobby and difficult. And also, you could possibly lay them down in the tradition of wine.
Well, if there's yeast, if there's still yeast
but in also in a larger bottle, there's less surface contact. And it's actually better to lay down. So at least you could lay down one of these bottles for a year. Last year I had a I had some of the Brooklyn Hopfenweiss, which is a collaboration with Garrett Oliver and the brewer from Schneiderweiss in Germany, and I had a large bottle a year later, and the new beer, the Schneider Hopfenweiss, actually was a little too hoppy, a little assertive, but the one that had been laid down for a year was beautiful. It was one of the better beers I had that year.
I
think that's another thing. The beers that come in 25-ounce bottles, if they're from these really special breweries, you may want to actually put them away for 6 months or 9 months and try them later and share them with friends. And that's one reason why they're served that way. I think, does everyone agree with me? Or
That's
really the question. So the beers that you're going to get in a 12-ounce bottle are probably more geared towards you drinking.
Right.
If they're in a big bottle and they're expensive, I would hope that they would be better after you put them in.
Because there are big bottled beers. Like, you know, there's 40 ounces of King Cobra, and I wouldn't lay that down and save it.
Nah.
Even though the alcohol content probably would justify the cellaring. But my guess, it's filtered.
Yeah. What I love about you, Ray, is that you can talk the talk with the best beers, but you still love King Cobra.
I might just lay a bottle down for a year or two, see how it comes.
Well, let's
out.
Let's get to your pretty things here. Come on, the time's running out. So.
Okay, yeah,
we're gonna taste some of their pretty things. I've had the St. Botolphs. I was really happy last month. Dan Paquette, who is the brewer from Pretty Things, he was in New York. He stopped by Jimmy's Number 43, Burp Castle in East Village, and there was a special event for him at the Pony Bar up in Midtown West. And I have a special connection with Dan because I'm from a town in Massachusetts called Haverhill, Massachusetts, and there's a brewery there called the Haverhill Brewery. And for at least a year, a few years ago, do you know when Dan was the brewer there? He was the brewer at Haverhill Brewery.
He was at the tap in Haverhill for maybe about a year or two, and I believe it was like 2001, 2002.
Well, I can say he made such an impact at his short time there that all the New England, you know, beer news, like Yankee Brew News, they were always referenced that, oh, Haverhill Brewery had Dan Paquette, you know, as their brewer.
Haverhill, Mass, yeah.
One thing I would say, New England has a lot of small local breweries that are pretty good that aren't necessarily being sent to New York. But if I was just hanging out, I would say, wow, I'm going to go to Haverhill Brewery in Haverhill, Massachusetts. There's some other really good brew pub places like that. What I'm trying to say is that Dan's got such a great reputation, Dan Paquette of Pretty Things, that the brief time he's spent at this small brewery in Massachusetts, they keep referencing, you know, almost 10 years later.
And he even goes back way before that. I mean, he dived into the craft beer scene just when it was, like, really blossoming. And he was working with Pilgrim Brewery in Massachusetts. And eventually, with a business partner, got involved with a company called Northeast Brewing Company. And that's where he really, really got to shine. One of the first brewers to start messing around with, you know, experimenting with barrel-aged beers, wood-aged beers, sour beers. And, you know, one of the first people in the country to start doing that. And I think that's where he really got his chops at brewing.
So, Jim. Mm-hmm. Now, we're drinking your beer right now.
Oh, yes. This is Fluffy White Rabbits.
Yeah.
This beer is awesome.
This is a hoppy triple.
Some pretty triple. Things. Pretty Things,
yeah.
Fluffy White Rabbit.
Fluffy White Rabbits. And what Dan had done with this beer is that he uses a combination of European and American hops. He uses Sod's Styrian Goldings, and then for the aroma hops has the Amarillo hops.
Huh. Is there any spice in this beer?
No spice. So what you're getting is the yeast. So
I'm getting like coriander. Almost like a wit beer, like, you know, like it's also, I got to say, for the folks listening in who's not drinking the beer with us, unfortunately, the beer is not ice cold. So it's been sitting in the studio and it's warmed
up. It's like a cellar temperature.
And when that happens, a lot of the elements of the beer become more present.
Yeah, they open up.
It opens up, right. Yeah. And
but this beer, the Fluffy White Rabbit, what style is this? Is this a triple?
Yeah, it is a triple.
I thought it was a wit beer.
Yeah,
you get some of the bitter citrus as well, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
and this beer is also in a larger bottle.
It's a 22 ounce
bottle.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really great beer. I think it's the my favorite of the pretty things that I've had.
Well, thank you. Yeah,
yeah.
It's done us really well, and in Boston, it's been just incredibly successful up there.
Do we have any more?
We have the Baby Tree.
To try that, Jimmy?
Yeah, definitely.
We're winding down, but we can just do it. Our beer team is on it,
let's crack it and taste it.
Corey's on it.
I know our listeners want to know.
Yeah, this Baby Tree, this was last year we released this around Easter time. That's a 9%. This beer that we're releasing this spring is an 8% beer. So that tells you how crazy we are. 8%.
God, you'd never find it in there. You'd never find it. It's so easy.
Let's talk about a couple of the Good Beer Sealed Bar events coming up. Thursday, April 8th at Standings Bar in the East Village, there's a Dogfish Head Spring Fest, 5 Dogfish Head Brews. On Monday, April 13th at Beer Table, this is an event I've been waiting for. It's Wheat Beers and Spring Cheeses. a tasting of various styles of wheat beer and spring cheeses led by John Ludbaum, with a special appearance by Hans-Peter Drexler, the longtime brewmaster at Schneider & Son in Germany. Schneider & Son, one of the best wheat beers I've had.
Great stuff.
And next Monday at DBA, Liquid of Interest. So this is the pretty things, that, what's it called, Baby Tree?
Yeah,
Baby Tree.
Let's
do a quick taste and we have to close out.
Okay.
Right. What do you say about it?
This is a big beer. It's delicious, but it's just...
So Pretty Things in Boston, one of those new up-and-coming breweries that we all like.
Wow,
and
nice.
You'll hear more about.
It's like licorice in there? Is it anise?
Again, it's probably the dried plum. Yeah, there's...
Okay.
Yeah.
So right now, I think we should all go back to DBA in Brooklyn to the beer and cheese pairing.
Mm. And at Jimmy's number 43 like tonight, cheese. There's a Sassone and Farmhouse ale tasting as well.
I'm going there.
All right.
As am I. The hell with DBA. I'm going to Jimmy's.
we got a busy laundry list.
So Ray Dieter from DBA, Jim Barnes from Pretty Things, and Corey Bonfiglio, thank you for being on Beer Sessions
Thanks
Radio
for
tonight.
Having me.
Our sponsor is thegoodbeerseal.com. And thank you to Heritage Radio Network, our executive producer Jimmy Carboni, producers Jack Inslee and Brie O'Connor, and engineer Nat Wiener. Please join us next week for a very special Beer Sessions Radio with the brewers from Six Point Brewery and our roving reporter, Dave Broderick, the owner and founder of Blind Tiger. That's going to be our top show. Have a good week, guys. We'll see you next Tuesday. Bye.
It helps me unwind, and sometimes it makes me feel mellow.